Today on Maine Calling, the latest on the ICE-involved deadly shooting in Biddeford. Some information is emerging about the fatal shooting of a 26-year-old Colombian man by ICE agents yesterday, but many questions remain unanswered. If the man who was killed was not the target of the immigration action, then why was he shot? Why weren't immigration agents wearing body cameras? Who was ICE's target, and was that person dangerous? I'm Jennifer Rooks. In the hours since the shooting, protests have erupted in Biddeford and Portland, and elected officials have tried to get answers. Today on Maine Calling, we talk with reporters covering the story and officials, including Congresswoman Pingree and Senator King, who is calling for an investigation by local or state agencies. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine. Now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Questions abound after an immigration enforcement officer fatally shot a 26-year-old man in Biddeford yesterday. Today, we discuss the emerging details of what happened and what's next. With me, two reporters covering this story. Rachel Estabrook is a staff writer with the Portland Press Herald, and Ari Snyder is a host of All Things Considered and also a news reporter with Maine Public Radio, and he covers immigrant communities. We invite you to join the conversation. What was your reaction when you heard about the shooting? What is your question, or what are your questions today? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Ari, I'll start with you. I understand you can't be with us long today. What do we know at this point about what happened yesterday morning in Biddeford, about not only the incident, but also the man who was killed?
Yeah, Jen, I'd say we know a lot less than we would like to know. And you know, we've got a lot of people trying to figure out more. Basically, what we have confirmed, and it's sort of cobbled together, right, from immigrant rights groups, from Senator Angus King, who I understand we'll hear from in a bit, a little bit of information from ICE and DHS that sort of trickled through. Basically, what we have is a 26-year-old Colombian man. We understand his name is Joan Sebastian Guerrero. We don't have that officially from ICE or any other sort of elected official source. We have that from community members, neighbors. Rachel can talk about how the Press Herald was able to confirm that name. I've been talking to people who are in touch with friends and family members of the victim. We understand he has a partner and a young child. We don't know how long he's been in the country. Immigrant rights groups are saying he had legal work authorization. That can come with a variety of different legal statuses, immigration statuses. So we don't know exactly what status he had. At this point, I don't know what he did for work. I've heard different things online, but nothing confirmed. And we're trying to figure out, you know, as much as we can at this point.
And do we know, Ari, if it's true that the partner and child were in the car when the incident happened?
I don't. I don't feel like I can say that. It's unclear to me at this point. There are a lot of different sort of social media accounts or witness accounts coming out. And I think one of the biggest questions right now, which was raised through Senator Angus King's office, was whether he was actually the target of this ICE operation to begin with. Angus King's office says they spoke with DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen, who indicated that, in fact, Joan was not the target. They were looking for someone else. We don't have that confirmed from ICE, but it certainly raises a whole other host of questions.
Sure. And for the record, I've also reached out to ICE, and I don't have that confirmed either. Rachel, what can you add to what Ari has told us?
Yeah, to your question about whether Guerrero's partner and young daughter were in the car, we did have reporters on the ground shortly after the shooting yesterday, and they saw the partner and the daughter there on the street. I don't think in the car, but on the street. And so we're aware that they were there. They saw the aftermath of what happened. The girl was in her pajamas. That's probably the most heartbreaking visual, certainly. We've seen video of the car sort of going around in circles in the street, and then being guided by agents after the shots were fired. But we don't know what happened before that. There's no video that I'm aware of that shows what happened before the shooting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen that video. So it's not clear, Rachel, whether the car is, and it appears to be going slowly in a circle, whether that was before or after the shots were fired.
I mean, we don't know where the car was coming from. ICE's statement, the statement that ICE put out many hours, I think almost 12 hours after the shooting happened yesterday afternoon, said that ICE attempted to conduct a vehicle stop. The vehicle attempted to flee the scene, and fearing for public safety, an officer discharged his weapon. So that's the statement they gave. It's interesting to me what's not in that statement. In other instances like this, ICE has quickly said, oh, the person was trying to use their vehicle as a weapon. They're not saying that, at least in the statement that they put out late yesterday afternoon.
And Ari, you find some other omissions interesting, correct? Because you have covered a lot of stories that involve people who are in this country either seeking asylum or have H-3B visas. And what have you noticed is not being said? One is the person's name, correct?
Yeah, so that's a big one, right? The person's name is not in the ICE statement. It was sort of a cryptic statement to try to decipher, because they say they were surveilling a house looking for someone, and that someone left the house, but they don't clearly state that the person who left the house was the person they were looking for. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Another thing that's missing again, and Rachel, I'm sure, has seen this as well, but in the past, when we send a statement, send a question to DHS and ICE, looking for a statement on some of the more high-profile arrests, immigration arrests that we've seen in Maine, they're often quite responsive and will come back and say, so and so entered the country without authorization on X date at X port of entry. They presented, they were turned over to ICE for deportation proceedings. They were issued an order of removal, or, they overstayed a visa, or whatever it is that they have to say. They will offer usually some form of justification. Sometimes it's saying, hey, they overstayed a visa, even though that person had eventually applied for asylum. But all of that information, there's none of that in the statement that ICE released yesterday. And I think Rachel's point is key, that in past instances, like there was one just a week ago in Texas, under sort of similar circumstances, where there was a fatal shooting by an ICE agent in Houston. I believe the word from ICE there was that the driver, again, quote, weaponized the vehicle, but they didn't use that word in the statement that came out yesterday.
They did say, though, that they believed that he was a threat to public safety, but we don't know in what way, correct?
No, we don't. One other thing I'll say that's
And
missing. Oh, sorry, go
I
ahead,
just want to
Rachel.
say they didn't actually use the word threat either. I just want to be careful about
Okay,
that.
thank
They
you.
said they feared for public safety, but that's pretty unspecific.
Yeah, and even in addition to that, like oftentimes when someone is arrested by ICE, they will indicate if that person, they will swiftly indicate if that person has any sort of criminal history. Right, and say this person has, a criminal record including XYZ, even if they were charges that didn't stick or whatever. But the lack of information, and again, Rachel, to your point, the vagueness of fearing for public safety, what does that really mean? We don't know.
I also want to note the Press Herald has been told by congressional offices that there was no warrant for Guerrero.
All right. And also, what do we know about the ICE agent that was involved in the shooting? Has that person been placed on leave? Is that person still in the city of Biddeford? Do we know?
We do not. I don't think we've even been able to confirm for sure whether there's one shooter or two. We just don't know yet. And that speaks again to very limited information coming out officially.
Well, Ari, I know you have a lot of reporting to do today, and I know that you will be on NPR's National News very soon. So I will say thank you for joining us for the time that you were able to. Ari Snyder, a host and news reporter with Maine Public Radio. We're going to hear now from Biddeford Mayor Liam LaFountain. He spoke with us earlier this morning, about 3 hours ago. We're having this conversation first thing on Tuesday morning, wondering if you have learned anything new since we all went to bed last night.
No, not too much new, but I have been in contact with the governor's office and our federal delegation, including Senator King, and looking for updates throughout the day, which I'm sure we'll get.
What do we know about the person who was killed? Did he live in Biddeford?
Did live in Biddeford, lived around the area in which he was killed. I was able to attend a vigil yesterday evening at 7, and then later there was a memorial that was set up on Poole Street, and was able to speak with some of his neighbors who knew him.
Do you know how long he'd been here in Maine and what kind of job he had, things like that?
No, I don't know, and I wouldn't want to speculate at this time.
What has ICE told you? What have the Biddeford police told you? Where are we in terms of the investigation into what happened exactly?
We, as a city, have not had any official communication from ICE. In the city of Biddeford, police departments' interaction was limited to securing the perimeter of the scene after the incident took place.
What's planned for today?
Plan for today is consistent with yesterday, calling for a full, thorough, and transparent investigation into what happened and working with our state, federal, local partners to make sure that happens and we get justice for the individual.
You said you attended the vigil last night. I'm wondering what the overriding feeling is right now in your community and what's your message for the people of Biddeford?
It's many, it's distressing. There's fear, there's also anger. A lot of emotion yesterday evening, a lot of passion, but a lot of support as well for the family, for the victim, and for Biddeford residents and immigrants across our state.
Are you aware, is ICE continuing its activity in Biddeford, or have the agents moved on to another city?
As I said, we don't get any type of notification from ICE about their operations within the city, so I can't speak to that.
But you haven't heard anything? People haven't seen them?
I haven't heard anything this morning, no.
Anything you'd like to add, Mayor?
Well, I just want to, thank people for all the outreach that we've had from across the state and country that are here to support Biddeford. I also want to thank those who exercised their First Amendment right yesterday that they remained peaceful and safe and followed local law enforcement. And if they should choose to do so, which is their right, I would ask that they continue, to follow the law.
That was the mayor of Biddeford, Liam LaFountain. On the line with us now, another one of my colleagues, Carol Bousquet, is Maine Public's weekend host and reporter. Carol, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
I know that you were on the scene quite early tomorrow yesterday and were able to speak with some of the people affected by the shooting. Tell us what you learned and heard.
Yeah, people were really upset and angry about what happened in their neighborhood. I spoke with one woman, M. Ackerley, who grew up in Biddeford and loves her neighborhood and takes care of her neighbors. She considers it a kind of place where people take care of each other, look out for each other. And she woke up to a rapid succession of gunshots and looked out her window and saw the scene unfolding with plainclothes officers trying to stop the white sedan the victim was in, and then another car kind of corralling it in, and she was just kind of appalled by it, disgusted, angry, upset, and that sentiment was echoed from several residents in the area. She has always believed Biddeford was a safe place, and now she kind of feels like that facade has kind of crumbled, and it's devastating for her.
And when you say she feels like the facade has crumbled, is she angry, because of new people who have moved into her neighborhood, or is she angry that there are immigration agents operating in her neighborhood?
She's angry that immigration agents are operating in her neighborhood. She did not know this family, but she knows that Biddeford is a neighborhood of immigrants, and that immigrants built our country. And she's not angry with them for being there. She's angry that ICE agents continue to come into our state and wreak havoc on neighborhoods and hurt innocent people.
When you talked to others, did they agree with her? I mean, was it pretty unanimous among the people you spoke with, the feeling that the frustration and the anger was with ICE?
Yes. Other people I spoke with, one woman said, you know, she was there right after the shooting, and she saw, you know, the woman and the young child just standing there in shock after seeing their family member gunned down. And she said, you know, put my name out there, put my photos out there. This needs to stop. I don't care if they know my name. I want people to know this is happening, and it needs to stop.
Thank you, Carol, and good luck reporting today. That was Carol Bousquet, who's Maine Public Weekend host and reporter. We do need to take a quick break. You can call us at 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. A man from Columbia driving his car was shot by an immigration enforcement officer yesterday in Biddeford, shot and killed, setting off a firestorm of reactions and questions. Joining me to help understand the news as it unfolds is Rachel Estabrook, who is a staff writer with the Portland Press Herald. We invite you to join the conversation. What are you seeing and hearing in your community? Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Cindy, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi. I just was wondering if the Attorney General could issue some kind of temporary restraining order against ICE and make them immediately cease operations in Maine until they wear body cameras. Seems like this is an extraordinary situation, of course, and, you know, an emergency order would be warranted. I did email and call his office yesterday. Obviously, they're really busy, didn't hear back, but I just thought I would ask that question if anyone there has thought of that.
Yeah, Rachel, do we know the answer? I'm guessing that the state attorney general doesn't have any authority over federal officials.
I cannot answer that specific question. Sorry. I do know that the attorney general's office is investigating the shooting, but I don't know if they have any jurisdiction to do what the caller's asking. Sorry.
Cindy, thanks for your call. We spoke with Senator Angus King this morning. We're going to listen to some of what he had to say about what he knows and doesn't know at this point. Senator King, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. I need to ask you, what is the most recent information you've learned from the Department of Homeland Security? We know that the man who was shot was not the target of the enforcement action. So why was he shot?
Well, that's a really good question, Jennifer, because the statement that they put out last night was very I don't know quite what to say, how it was worded, but it didn't make the case. It said, number one, that it conflated this issue of whether this guy was the target of the investigation, and he wasn't. We know that. But secondly, it said the officer fired because he was concerned for public safety. That's a rather vague statement. He didn't say he was concerned for his own safety or his own life, or that the car was somehow being weaponized. And that's a sort of lawyerly term. Police officers aren't supposed to shoot into cars unless they have a reasonable fear for their own life or for deadly threats to public safety. But right now, what we really need, Jennifer, is a true, thorough, unvarnished investigation involving state officials as well as the federal government. unfortunately, an investigation that's conducted right now by DHS or FBI just isn't going to have any credibility with the people of Maine. They don't trust them. And that's why I've been pressing since talking to the secretary yesterday. This has got to involve our local and state officials as well in order to have people have any confidence at all in what we learn about the actual facts of what happened.
Senator King, Congress appropriated $20 million for body cameras for ICE 5 months ago. What do you know about why the agents were not wearing body cameras in Biddeford?
Well, what the secretary told me was that they were on order and that they didn't have them yet. I don't really understand that. ICE has, as you mentioned, enormous amount of money, and they've actually been funded. Jennifer, I'm getting comments today, cut off ICE, defund ICE. ICE is funded, unfortunately, under a bill passed by the Republican majority this year. ICE is funded through the end of Donald Trump's term. It's forward funded. So unless there's a change in the Congress, that funding is locked in. Congress has given up its power of the purse over ICE, if you will. But the larger question, Jennifer, is why were they in Biddeford in the first place? And this whole thing, remember the surge in Portland last winter? They arrested over 200 people. It turned out 19 of them had criminal records. So that's 90% of the people that they arrested had no criminal records. And this business of it being the, you know, they're going after the worst of the worst and getting criminals off our streets, that's just nonsense. I reached out to the mayor of Biddeford this morning, early this morning, also Ryan Fecteau, the Speaker of the House, who's from Biddeford, and said, is there any crime in Biddeford associated with immigrants? Is there any problem here to be solved by ICE? And the answer from both of them was no. So this is a tragedy on all kinds of levels. It's a personal tragedy for this young man and his family, 3-year-old daughter, but it's also a tragedy for America. This is not who we are. And we're going to look back on this period, I think, with some real regret that this country is going through this. The other piece I would mention is, Jennifer, the White House has given ICE quotas for a number of arrests they have to make in a day. It was 3,500. I heard recently it was 2,000. Whenever you give a quota like that, you're going to get bad results. That's just in the nature of the situation. It's a terrible situation all around. And the first thing we need is an honest, thorough, and open investigation. But then we need to talk about why no body cameras, why this is something they were funded. And it should have happened. Now, they're going to say probably, well, there was a government shutdown and we didn't get to do it. Well, I don't buy that. They had the money. They had plenty of money in their budget they could have put toward body cameras even before this specific authorization. So the whole thing stinks.
This is not the first time ICE agents have fired into a vehicle and killed the driver. As you mentioned, other law enforcement officers are trained not to fire into a moving vehicle. Are ICE agents trained differently?
Well, that's a really good question. And we know that for a period, and we're not sure what the situation is now, but earlier this year, ICE had a real shortened training period. And whether they were giving people bonuses, who they were signing up, whether they were sufficiently looking into their background, and whether they were given adequate training, I think is a really good question. And that is one of the questions I think involved in this case. Who was the agent who took this action? What kind of training did he have? And of course, again, we have to get to the facts of whether he had a reasonable belief that there was a threat to himself or others. And until we know that, we can't make a definitive decision. But again, this wouldn't have happened if ICE had not been in Biddeford. There's no reason for them to be in Biddeford, Maine, and pursuing these kinds of activities. And even it makes it even more tragic that this was not the guy they were looking for.
Senator King, it strikes me that several times now you've been able to say these are questions we need to have answers, but that you are a U.S. senator and you do not know. You do not know where the body cameras are. You do not know what kind of training ICE agents are receiving. This strikes me as not normal.
Well, one of the problems is that it's been difficult to get answers to those questions. And the The secretary told me that they were deploying body cameras, but they hadn't fully deployed them because they had the contracts weren't completed during the shutdown or something like that. I don't have much confidence in that statement. But part of the problem, Jennifer, is that this Congress has essentially abdicated a great deal of its oversight responsibility. I sat in a room with people from the White House and with Tom Homan trying to negotiate something last winter, or last fall, actually, about the restrictions on ICE. And all, to me, it's really simple. Simply apply to ICE the same rules that apply to every other police force in America. You know, no masks, identification, body cameras, independent investigations when there's a use of force. All of those things ought to be applying to ICE, and that's what we were working toward. And then the Republican majority basically said, "We're going to fund ICE without those reforms," and here we are.
Given that, what can you as a U.S. senator do to try to prevent incidents like this from happening again? Is calling for an investigation what you can do?
Well, that's certainly one thing. But the other thing is to officially ask questions, to file what we call requests for information or questions through our committees of ICE to get answers to some of these questions as to why the body cameras haven't been deployed, how many have been deployed, how they've chosen where to send them and where not to send them. It's hard for me to believe that they couldn't, in the time that's elapsed since last fall, that they couldn't have found the body cameras, at least for those officers who are on the front line and liable to be in situations where force might be used. So we can keep pushing through official channels, unofficial channels, keep the pressure on through the budget process. But again, and I know that people listening are going to say, well, Senator, you're a senator. You ought to be able to fix that. It's very frustrating to be in a situation where the shortest answer is we don't have the votes. And the people who could have made these restrictions, and I should say they did require body cameras in the most recent set of funding, but I don't think they went far enough.
Senator King, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think, well, I do want to add, as I said at the beginning, the real question, aside from the factual question of what happened here, and it doesn't look good, is why were they there in the first place? And why are we having this national policy of going after people who are peaceful, working, contributing to their community, and putting our communities at risk, creating fear in the community, dividing the community, and putting innocent, putting lives at risk, as we saw yesterday? Why is that happening? And there's been no adequate explanation for that, because it's not the worst of the worst. If that's what it was, I don't think anybody would be objecting. It's going after people who are not criminals, who have no criminal record, and who are members of their community and contributing, as this young man apparently was.
That was Senator Angus King. We spoke with him just a couple hours ago. Rachel, you heard the Senator King say, who was the agent who did the shooting? So Senator King clearly under the impression that one person fired the shots.
Yes, and I should say I said earlier I wasn't sure if it was one or more. ICE's statement does say an officer discharged his weapon, so I guess we can conclude from that it was one. But again, without knowing who it was or getting any more information officially from ICE, it's tough to know exactly what happened.
On the line with us is Lisa Parisio, who is policy director for the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. You heard Senator King say more than once, why was ICE in Biddeford in the first place? Had you all been aware of increased ICE activity in Biddeford recently?
Thanks for having me, Jennifer. I can say yes, that we have seen increased activity in Biddeford over the past couple of months. You know, we've seen kind of a a shift in enforcement with more ICE activity generally and certain communities being really heavily targeted. In addition to Biddeford, we have seen heavy targeting of Lewiston, of Auburn, of Portland. And, you know, we've seen ICE agents, you know, specifically going after people who are asylum seekers, people who entered on visas. And we've just seen a lot of waiting at people's homes and targeting people right as they are leaving for work or coming home from work. And this has been a bit of a shift from what we saw in 2025 and what we saw earlier this year. So there have been some changes in patterns. And yes, Biddeford certainly has been one of the communities where there has been increased ICE enforcement, obviously resulting in this horrible tragedy.
Lisa, what do we know about the man who was shot? Do we know how he was here in Maine, what kind of job he had, anything like that?
You know, I don't think I have seen any of that confirmed in the media reporting yet. But, you know, if we just look at the patterns of people who are being targeted, you know, as Senator King was just saying as well, you know, we are just seeing people who are in lawful processes, who are, you know, just living their lives, raising their families, contributing to their communities, working their jobs. You know, these are the human beings, the main residents that ICE has been targeting, that ICE has been ripping out of Maine and ripping out of our communities at just tremendous costs all around for all of us.
And I'm wondering what your phone has been like since this happened yesterday. Are the people who you are working with responding to this incident?
Of course. I mean, we are part of the network of immigration rights organizations here in Maine, organizations that are serving immigrant communities like our partners. And, you know, so many people are obviously reeling from what has happened, mourning the loss of this young man, mourning for his family, for his daughter. And I think all of us just are calling out for change. We are, you know, reminded again and again that, you know, there is absolutely no legitimate policy reason for this to be happening. ICE is making Maine less safe. It is making all of us less safe across this country. And we need to see some of the steps that Senator King outlined. And we all need to call out for this. It's really up to all of us to make sure that protecting every member of our community, everyone in Maine, is a priority. And it isn't something that gets pushed aside when we have moments like the upcoming election, when we have, you know, many of us are lucky enough to have a say in what happens in this country. And we need to take that privilege very, very seriously. This is a crisis moment. This is urgent. You know, people are being shot and killed here in Maine and across the country by ICE. And we need to act, all of us.
I remember earlier this year during the ICE surge that immigrant advocacy groups were telling people not to leave their homes. Is that the advice today?
It's a great question. It's just so incredibly difficult. You know, I don't think I would frame it as advice, but, you know, certainly something that we are seeing. And I just think it's so important to remember that enforcement doesn't just impact individuals and families. There is this larger effect of the terror and the fear that this administration, that ICE is, you know, very intentionally wielding. And it is, you know, resulting in people completely withdrawing from public life, afraid to go to work, afraid to go to school, to pursue higher education, to do all of the things that allow individuals to thrive as themselves and in their families and, you know, make Maine a better place. So the losses just cascade from, you know, the federal administration's agenda, from Congress funding this violence. So it really is this watershed moment that we need to act. All of us are affected by this.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. Lisa Parisio with the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. And now we turn to Peter McGuire, who is a Maine public reporter and also a resident of Biddeford. Thanks so much for calling in, Pete. And I'm wondering about your morning yesterday. When did you hear that this had happened? And what is it like in your neighborhood today?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. So I live just a few blocks away from the intersection where the shooting occurred. I first heard about it. My wife showed me a news alert around, I think, 8:25 in the morning that streets were blocked off in the area, and we didn't know what it was about. So I biked up there, tried to figure out what was going on. By the time I got home, the news had broke that this was an ICE-involved shooting. And from there, I made some calls at the newsroom and we got to work.
What has the climate in the community been like since then?
It's sad. People are sad. People are upset. Biddeford has a reputation for being kind of a rough around the edges place. You know, it's an old mill town, but there's a lot of pride in this community. There have been a lot of new Mainers, immigrant communities who have moved into the city in recent years. During the ICE surge back in the winter, there was a big community effort to provide support to some of those families that Lisa was mentioning, sheltering at home. And so really, people are very upset. I mean, a good friend of mine drove right by the scene just minutes after the shooting occurred. People are taking this really hard. But I'd say, you know, covering the protests that erupted very swiftly yesterday, there was also a feeling of resignation that this was to be expected, that where this agency goes, they leave dead bodies in their wake. And people were shocked, but not necessarily surprised that this happened.
Peter, thank you for calling in and best of luck with your future reporting. That's Maine Public's Peter McGuire, a colleague of mine, a reporter here at Maine Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about yesterday's ICE-involved shooting in Biddeford and what we have learned since then. With me for the hour, Portland Press Herald's reporter, Rachel Estabrook. Share your comments and questions. You can send a quick email to talk@mainepublic.org or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Now with us, U.S. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. She represents Maine's 1st District. Congresswoman Pingree, what have you been hearing from constituents since this time yesterday?
Well, I was on my way to Washington when I heard about this, so I took a little turn and went down to Biddeford, had a chance to look at the crime scene, talked to people, and a very active vigil was going on around noon yesterday. And obviously, people are just so angry, frustrated. We know how mad people were about the Operation Catch of the Day. And I think for a lot of people, when that ended, they thought maybe the ICE presence had cleared out. I mean, I know through my office, because we handle so many cases, that they certainly haven't left the state and they have many active operations going on. And traffic stops are often a way for them to target someone without a warrant, whereas when they come to someone's house and try to enter, they have to have a warrant. So I think they're increasingly used by ICE and one of the things that, you know, should be restricted and stopped. But there's certainly a lot of anger going on. I did come to D.C. last night and I was followed off the plane by a woman who said she lived in Biddeford, not too far away. I hadn't seen her during the day, but I saw her coming off the plane. And she just really was weeping and said, you know, it's just such a tight-knit community. She had, texted the mother of one of the people in the mayor's office. She knew the police chief, you know, just that kind of sense you have in a small town when, you know, this is about all of us. And, of course, the fact that there was a young child involved and a family, and we're quite sure this was even the wrong person, not the targeted individual. It's just deeply upsetting.
Shelley, Congresswoman Pingree, I want to ask you what questions you are asking and of whom today.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a delegation letter together about the investigation. I heard Senator Kane talking earlier. I'm also doing a separate letter just to be a little bit more strongly worded and you know, emphasize the things that we are specifically concerned about. But you heard many of our questions. I mean, why in the world didn't they have the body cameras? There's no justification for that. Why do they continue with these traffic stops? I mean, my number one question even before this incident is, why the hell are they in Maine? We don't have a high crime state. They're picking up people who are legally here. We know because of the casework that we do. We have a case we're working on where somebody's a nurse at Maine Med, but they're afraid to leave their home because they've had a knock at the door, and they know if they go out, they're likely to be detained. We have so many people who come to us and say we're trying to find a family member who has been detained, and we're not sure where they are. So my number one question is, why do they continue with these operations? And you've heard some of that before. They have a ridiculous amount of money. The White House has set these quotas, and so they just continue to do this with largely less trained officers, less policies and procedures, and more of an attempt to put people in detention than would have ever been done before this administration.
Well, Congresswoman Pingree, thank you so much for taking the time to call in today. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, yeah, represents Maine's 1st Congressional District. Rachel, we're hearing Congresswoman Pingree, Senator King, both talk about an investigation. For the record, we also reached out to Senator Susan Collins' office, and she will not be calling in during this hour. We didn't hear back from them. But Rachel, what do we know about investigations at this point?
We know that the Office of Inspector General within the Department of Homeland Security is working with the FBI to investigate. We also know that locally, Maine's Attorney General's office is taking the lead, investigating, and Biddeford Police are deferring to or working with them. And I think that's really notable because as we've seen shootings by ICE agents across the country, sometimes local jurisdictions have not used their authority to investigate those incidents, and they have deferred to the FBI. And so the fact that Maine's Attorney General's office, that local investigators were on the ground yesterday, I saw their trucks there at the intersection, that they are pursuing this is interesting. It's also interesting, just yesterday, in Minnesota, where the local prosecutor has been trying to investigate the killings of Alex Preddy and Renee Good, just yesterday, about 6 months later, they got some crucial evidence that they have been trying to get from federal authorities for a long time. So I have a lot of questions right now about what state investigators here in Maine have access to in terms of the evidence, both physical evidence and witness interviews, stuff like that. So we don't know yet exactly what state investigators have or can get, or who exactly, you know, has investigative ownership of those things. But you know, I think we've heard across the political spectrum in the past 24 hours this really strong interest in a thorough investigation here in Maine. And so it's interesting to me that the Attorney General's office seems to be proactive about this.
I want to note that we just received a statement from Senator Collins' office. It reads in part, "While the investigation of the Biddeford shooting is not yet complete, it raises sufficient critical questions that I spoke with DHS Secretary Mullen last night and urged him to cease all non-urgent vehicle stops." Calling in now from a rally is my colleague Maddie Smith. She is Maine Public's Emerging Voices Journalism Fellow. Thanks so much for taking time to call in, Maddie. Tell us what you're seeing and hearing where you are.
Hi, Jen. Yeah, I'm out here outside the Scarborough ICE facility. The protest out here has been primarily peaceful. I'd say at least 200 people here until about 15 minutes ago. Someone who we believe is Tim Bodnar, he goes by Truthslinger on social media, and he came in and shoved his way into the center of this peaceful anti-ICE action and started blaring a loud noise out of his speakerphone, was screaming at people, was threatening violence. The crowd reacted. The religious leaders led everyone in song. And so everyone was singing as he was screaming. And then the leaders of the event announced, instead of just sitting in the circle as we had been peacefully for the last 40 minutes, we are going to start picketing. So they have now been marching over this, I would say, maybe a quarter of a mile stretch of blocked off road here in front of the ICE facility. Bodnar is still here in the middle of the crowd. There is security security put on by the event trying to manage him, but the people are still here. There are still hundreds of people here. They are chanting, they are singing, they are waving signs, but not exactly how they planned it here. They said the program was going to run until 12:30, and it was stopped around 11:40, I would say.
Maddie, thanks so much for calling in. Please stay safe. That is Maddie Smith, Maine Public's Emerging Voices Journalism Fellow. We'll go to Sandra calling from Lewiston. Hi, Sandra. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about two things. I recently just heard about this today. Like, I woke up first, my girlfriend that shot yesterday. But I was a little concerned because she seemed to think that there were no ICE operations in Maine since Operation Catch of the Day. So I'd just like to notify whoever's listening. ICE has not stopped operations since January of last year. They have not quit, stopped anything. They have continued to do enforcement operations across all of Maine.
Yeah. Sandra, thank you. And that is, Rachel, what we heard from Lisa Parisio at ILAP as well.
Oh, yeah. And here at the Press Herald, we've been reporting on those incidents consistently. So, yes, absolutely. There are still people being detained several times a week.
Sandra, thanks for calling in. We'll go to Mary calling from Saco. Hi, Mary. Go ahead. Mary, if you could please turn off your radio. Okay, we'll move on because we're very tight on time here. Let's see. We'll go to Jane calling from Penobscot. Hi, Jane. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had two questions. The first was about what Susan Collins had to say, and you have, since I called, you've answered that. My other question was, where are those ICE agents now? Do we know?
Rachel, do we know where the ICE agents involved yesterday are today?
I don't think so, no. But I do believe that one of the statements said that they had been put on administrative leave or something, as is typical in a situation like this.
Okay, Jane, thank you for your call. Let's see, we'll go to Connor in South Portland. Hi, Connor, go ahead.
Hi, Jen, how are you? Thanks for give me the space. I guess it's just sort of a common sense point that, like, you know, the choice to deputize these erstwhile unemployable people to do summary executions in the street is a deliberate public policy choice, especially considering there are tools like E-Verify for enforcing immigration and customs enforcement. The whole situation is just sickening. And I think our elected officials have frankly let it devolve too far. And it's just really shocking and disheartening. But as it was said earlier in the broadcast, deeply unsurprising as well.
Yeah, Connor, thank you for your call. And I think your views represent many others as well. Let's see, we'll go to Newbold, who is calling from Winter Harbor. Hi, Newbold, go ahead.
Thank you for taking the call. I'm a descendant of people who came to this country in 1635. My people were involved in the activities of 1776. My question is this: we have the Second Amendment right in this country. We have the right to bear arms and defend ourselves. At what point will Americans and those who are staying here activate that right to defend ourselves against a malicious militia that has been apparently authorized by the federal government to invade communities, to seize property and persons? At what point will we defend ourselves if the state and city and town and county officials can no longer defend the people residing in the states and cities and towns?
Newbold, thank you for your call and comment heard. We'll go to Stephanie calling from South Portland. Stephanie, we're very tight on time. Can you go ahead?
Yes, I just want to know, why don't they shoot the tires if they want to stop a car? Why do
Rachel, that's one of the big questions, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, this question of de-escalation training and tactics that ICE uses in the street has been a subject of much debate.
Yeah, Stephanie, thanks for that question. Will be our last question for this hour, and I really appreciate you joining us, Rachel. Rachel Estabrook, a staff writer with the Portland Press Herald, thank you for taking the time out of your reporting today to be with us. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.